This week, June 15th, 2014, on The Digital Story. Interesting Canon 7D Mark II sensor rumor. Raw editing on an iPad. A clever charging cable. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm back from Maui, which we will talk about, about the fourth story in today's lineup. But we have some other goodies to cover first, namely the weekly update and a clever charging cable feature story. We have a new screening room selection, all sorts of stuff. So I'm going to get started right now. Weekly update. Adobe Photoshop Express update brings raw editing to the iPad. Sort of. It also brings it to Android devices too, I believe. So I should have put that in the other parentheses. So essentially, there's a new version of Adobe Photoshop Express, which runs on mobile devices. And some of the goodies that it brings, for example, blemish removal, stuff like that, some new tools. But I think what most people are going to be most interested in is that it also brings the capability to edit RAW files on your mobile device. Now, the reason why I say sort of is that it appears, and I haven't done my thorough testing yet, this is brand new. However, it appears that you can't just upload a RAW file to your device, open it in Photoshop Express, and work on it. I don't think it works that way. The way that it appears to work is that you have to upload the file to Adobe Revel, which is one of their cloud services. And then once it's in Revel, then you can access it from Photoshop Express, do your editing and playing around. And then at that point, I believe you can save a version of the file to your mobile device. So it involves a few little, shall we say, twists and turns in order to do the raw file editing. However, if it's a workflow you're already using, for example, if you're already using Adobe Revel, then this shouldn't be a big deal for you at all. In fact, it should be pretty good news. For the rest of us that aren't using that, I think I'll just hang out and wait and see what else comes down the pike, because I'm not about ready to have to go through those kind of steps, at least at the moment, in order to look at a RAW file on my iPad. I'm already playing around with Lightroom Mobile, which actually I'll just touch on barely a bit today. And the reason why I'm not going to talk about it more is because I'm working on an article. I still have a few questions lingering out there that I'm waiting for answers to. So not going to talk too much about it today, but if I had to go with a cloud-based workflow, at the moment I would pick Lightroom Mobile over this Photoshop Express with Revel. That's just my personal taste, and that is story number one. Now, in other news, hey, it's Adobe Day. In other news, Tom Hogarty answers the question, what happens to Lightroom after my membership ends? It's a very good question. If you're a Creative Cloud subscriber and you're getting Lightroom through Creative Cloud, and you decide that you can't afford the subscription anymore, what happens to your pictures? What happens to all that stuff that you've done? Well, Tom answers this question in the Lightroom Journal. By the way, in the first story, the Adobe Photoshop Express update, that came from DP Connect. That's 2 weeks in a row I've done that, where I've just like blown over the source and went right into the next story and then had to backtrack. So, okay, I'm going to try not to make that a habit. First story was compliments of DP Connect. Second story, compliments of Lightroom Journal. And by the way, the links, of course, are in the show notes. Anyway, let's get back to what Tom had to say about this. What Tom says is, The desktop application will continue to launch and provide access to the photographs managed within Lightroom, as well as the slideshow, web, book, or print creations that we know many photographers painstakingly create. The develop and map modules have been disabled in order to signal the end of the membership. If your membership runs out, the way you'll know is that you won't be able to image edit any of your Lightroom photos anymore. That will be disabled. That will signal the end of your membership. Now, of course, if you renew your membership, in other words, if you signal your credit card number back to Adobe, then the develop module will work once again. Yay! And also the map module. Now, I don't know how the map module got caught up in this fracas here, because I don't really see that as a key player in the Lightroom workflow. I open it every now and then, but saying, yeah, the map module will be disabled, it doesn't seem like that big of a threat, does it? However, one thing that was sort of an aside to all this that is a little bit bigger threat is that Lightroom Mobile Sync, another end of membership signal, will be that Lightroom Mobile will no longer sync to your main computer. So anyway, overall, that's good news. Your photos will be there. You can add metadata. You can export them. You can make books. You can do everything but image edit. Use the map module, big threat, and Lightroom Mobile, which is probably the one that would bug me the most. So anyway, that's good to know. That's out on the table. And again, that's straight from the man himself, Tom Hogarty, on Lightroom Journal. And finally, this is a rumor alert here, and this is compliments of Canon Watch. This is fun little, as you know, I indulge in the occasional rumor if I feel like it's on solid ground, and you got to say, most of the time, I've been right, or I've reported correctly, I guess I should say. Anyway, and there, you're thinking right now, and the rumor is, okay, all right, so here we go. Okay, I'm going to say it right this time. New version of dual pixel AF rumored for Canon 70 Mark II. And basically what they're saying, anyone who's a Canon watcher knows that we're all waiting for the Canon 7D Mark II. We've actually been waiting for this about as long as we were waiting for Aperture 4. Now, Aperture 4 is never going to happen, but I think the 7D Mark II is going to happen, probably at Photokina. And its replacement will not only just feature Canon's dual pixel CMOS autofocus sensor technology, it's going to push its capabilities to new boundaries. So that's kind of interesting, right? Because I have the 70D, and that dual pixel AF sensor is really something else. I really like it a lot. I like the whole camera, and that's one of the things that I like a lot about. If the 7D is that technology on steroids, I think a lot of people are going to get very excited, not to mention all the other cool features that we're waiting to see with it. And of course, finally having Wi-Fi in a 7D would be nice too. So anyway, that is this week's weekly update. Okay, let's go on to our first feature story. This is just, okay, this is kind of silly, but it's sort of fun. And if you need it, you need it. And then it's not silly, then it's cool. So it's called the Charge Card. And I found out about this on Photo Jojo, which is just kind of a great spot to look for interesting mobile accessories and camera accessories. They pick up a lot of Kickstarter programs after the Kickstarter's over and they're going full retail. And in fact, this was one of those, the Charge Card. And basically, I'll just read you my copy. I wrote some copy for this. Faced with a low battery warning for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device? Question mark. There are plenty of USB ports in the world, but what about the cable to connect your device? Question mark again, even though I didn't do my voice upward on that one. Thanks to the charge card available at PhotoJojo, you can have a credit card size connector always in your wallet. So, and that's what this thing is. It is literally the size of a credit card. So anywhere that a credit card will fit in your wallet, this connector will fit. It comes in a bunch of different versions. So it has a lightning connector to USB, a dock connector to USB, and a micro USB to USB, which is what a lot of Android devices use. So it just fits there in your wallet. And then suddenly your iPhone or your Samsung Galaxy is getting a little low on juice, someone's computer is there or USB ports there, then you just pull the charge card. It's clever, huh? I like the name. You just pull the charge card out of your wallet, connect your device to it, but get a little bit of juice, and then put the charge card back in your wallet and make a phone call. So kind of neat. It's $29, which at first seemed like a lot to me, and then I remembered how much any Apple cable normally will cost. And suddenly I was going, oh, okay, well, $29 actually seems like about what I normally pay anyway. It's durable plastic, so it bends, but it doesn't break. Syncing at USB 2.0 speeds, so pretty fast. It's designed and made in California, and it's a Kickstarter success story. So that's all fun stuff. What I didn't see, by the way, was that it was Apple certified, which probably means that you're going to get the little, when you go to charge, you get the little warning that says that this isn't designed for your iPhone or whatever. You know, that little warning that you get doesn't mean that it won't work. It'll work. But, you know, you just have to get that little nag message, because they said here that they've tested it with basically everything. Really, I mean, all the iPhones from 4 up, all the iPads from 2 up, including the Mini and the Air, and then, you know, all the LG, Samsung, HTC, Google, Motorola, Nokia, BlackBerry, Sony, and even the Amazon Kindle. So anyway, it's a charge card, $29, PhotoJojo, and by the way, it's literally $29. They don't do the $29.95 thing. It's $29. PhotoJojo. I have the link in the show notes, and or you could just go to photojojo.com and look it up, photojojo.com. And it's called the charge card. And by the way, I should tell you that they also make the charge key, which fits on your key ring and does the same thing. So if for some reason you don't carry a wallet or you're anti-charge card in any way, shape, or form, you could go with the charge key. All right, so that is that. I know you're going, that's your lead story. Well, I just thought it was cool because, and maybe because I'm on the road so much these days, I have run into those situations where my kingdom for a cable. So maybe this is more of a personal thing. If you're the type that might run into that or have run into that, then you know what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I got a screening room for you today. And this screening room is from someone who I admire a lot as a teacher, Tim Gray. And we're going to talk about printing in Lightroom. And so the screening room title is Lightroom 5, Printing with Tim Gray. And actually, the movie that you'll see, he just really walks you through the basic printing process using the print module in Lightroom, right there in that first movie. In other words, he says, okay, you could do a lot of printing just knowing this right here. And then, boot, he goes on for 5 minutes and just really shows you how it works. It's very informative. It's very cool. Just click on the link and watch it if you're a Lightroom user and just go, yeah, ooh, yeah, I forgot about the whole, you know, how the template thing works, or that I can set this up and save it as a template, or, you know, all that good stuff. And then, however, in the rest of the whole training there, he really gets into the nitty-gritty of it. So if you're someone that wants to move beyond casual printing, in Lightroom to more serious artistic printing, then I think you'll get a lot out of this. You know, and as I said, I think Tim Gray, he does an excellent job of preparing, and he explains things well. And the print module in Lightroom is interesting. So you got a lot of good stuff happening here. This Lightroom 5, Printing with Tim Gray, this week's screening room selection. Highly recommend it. And if you like it, you know, you go over to the screening room, our landing page on there, on lynda.com, which is lynda.com, it's L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com/thedigitalstory, all one word. You can watch the Tim Gray movie. And you can also start your 7-day free trial right there. 7-day free trial. Watch as much as you want. Just like don't sleep for 7 days. Buy that giant bag of Starbucks of French roast and just like go crazy for 7 days. Go, I'm not sleeping. I'm going to get every minute worth of my 7-day free trial. Or you can do it other ways too, of course. Anyway, and that way you can watch all the other photography titles, design. There's all sorts of good stuff there. My latest, well, it's not actually my latest now because I've had a bunch come out lately. One of my latest, photographing high school senior portraits. You can watch that. By the way, I just saw the numbers on that the other day. That is my most popular of the bunch. And you know what the second most popular is? You want to guess? Well, you don't even know all the titles, so it's kind of an unfair question. But the second most popular title of the recent batch of five that I've released is rescuing data off your memory card. Yep, that one's doing really well too. And that's a fun title. Has a lot of kind of cool drawings, and it's a good topic. So anyway, or you can watch that stuff too. Now, you know, they all have free movies, so you can get a feel for them. But the 7-day free trial is for when you want to go beyond the free movies and really get into the nitty-gritty stuff. So Tim Gray, he is this week's screening room featured artist, and it's a good one on printing with Lightroom. All right, let's get to the Nibblosity report, story number 4. And, you know, I set this up last week. I said, okay, I'm going to Maui. I'm not taking my laptop. I'm going to do all this stuff, and we'll see how it works with just the iPad, and then I'll let you know how it turns out. So that's what this is right here. This is the letting you know how it turned out part of that deal. And in short, if you're in a hurry and you got to go, in short, it turned out very well. All right, that's like the abstract there. That's, in fact, it turned out great. In fact, when I came back to work, I really didn't want to open my laptop. My laptop had not been asleep. It had been turned off. I just like boop, powered it down, said, see you in a week, bub. And so today I powered it back up. And I, in all honesty, I wasn't in a hurry to do that. And I think part of it was that because the laptop to me is synonymous with, you know, work. The iPad, you know, this is true. You know, I'm just kind of, talking through this right now, where, you know, the iPad for me is, you know, more connected with fun. You know, fun iPad. I do things. I watch Breaking Bad on an airplane flying to Maui on an iPad. I write books on the laptop. I'm exaggerating a little bit, I think, here. So why? Why did it work, Derek? Just why? I mean, tell us why. And the reason why is that I could do practically everything that I needed to do on the iPad, but it was basically more fun and much easier to carry around and much easier to use in oddball places, like, you know, out on a balcony overlooking the Pacific Ocean, or flopping on bed before taking a nap, or out by the pool. And you can use them out there. You know, I'd be under an umbrella. And the thing I have to do, by the way, when I work with the iPad outside, the one thing I have to remember to do is, I wear glasses. The one thing I have to remember to do is bring my regular glasses. Because if I'm wearing my shades, my polarized shades, using the iPad in the sun, it does not work as well. It's harder to see the screen. But if I switch to my regular glasses and crank up the brightness all the way on the iPad, it actually works out pretty well. And like I did an emergency seat upgrade out by the pool at 12:23 p.m. on Saturday for a Sunday flight back, because that's when my, 24-hour thing, some airlines, you have to wait till you can do web check-in before you can see if there's any seats available for upgrade. So, you know, at that precise moment, I didn't really feel like, going upstairs or anything. So I just took my iPad with me, did it down at the pool. It worked great. Worked fantastic. And oh, by the way, I did get the upgrade and had an extra 5 inches of leg room on the way home, which was a very nice thing. Big deal. Cost me $40, but it was worth it. And I got early boarding too, which I always like. So I was shooting with the Olympus OMD, the EM-10. And because I was in Maui, I was also shooting with the TG-1, which is the tough camera. The first version of this particular tough camera, which I really like because it's fantastic for underwater photography. So I was shooting with those two cameras. And what I would do is I would use Lightroom Mobile as my main managing. And part of this was I was doing a test of Lightroom Mobile for the article that I'm working on. You can't upload directly into Lightroom Mobile. So you have to like get things on your camera roll first on the iPad and then suck them into Lightroom Mobile or point Lightroom Mobile to them, however that works. So I was doing that. And then I was using Lightroom Mobile to star rate the images, doing my normal star rating process, image edit them, and then share the final copies of the image back either to the camera roll or upload them to wherever they had to go online. Now, my iPad mini has connectivity built in. I have Verizon for it, and I have AT&T for my iPhone, and that's on purpose. Again, I've had long discussions with people about this and then also email stuff. I know the cellular built-in costs more, but I cannot tell you how many times I've needed it lately. And once again, where I was staying had Wi-Fi, and once again, it totally sucked. Just was terrible. As Charles Barkley would say, it was terrible. Terrible Wi-Fi. And it was. And I mean, so bad that my LTE connectivity through Verizon was over twice as fast as the Wi-Fi. Over twice as fast. Yep, it was. So if I really wanted to get work done and, do my publishing and not spend all day waiting for a page to load, then I would literally turn off the Wi-Fi and use the Verizon. And then, of course, when I wasn't around Wi-Fi, then I had to use a Verizon. So that to me is still a big part of the equation. That is still something that I feel like I need. The other thing I feel like I need is a fair amount of built-in RAM, which I have 64 gigabytes of built-in RAM. And that just, I rarely go over using half of that, but it's nice to have the headroom, especially if I want to add a couple extra movies or something during a long plane flight. It's good to have that little extra room on there. So the photo workflow, I thought worked well. I liked, by the way, using the image editing tools in Lightroom Mobile. I thought they worked pretty well. Now, I did do some editing also in Snapseed, which is the other image editor that I like. And every now and then I would open iPhoto for iOS and do a little image editing there. They all have little different tools. And so sometimes if I knew I wanted to do something specifically to a photo, I would open it up in the most appropriate app. But for the most part, I really thought that editing in Lightroom Mobile worked really well. Now, in terms of posting the images, I can post to Instagram from the iPad, Facebook, Twitter, The Digital Story, and also WordPress, which is where the CT Digiphoto blog is. And all of that went well. It just went really well. I published the podcast from On the Road. Now, on the podcast, because it is sort of complicated, I did record it earlier and put it in the publishing system as a draft. So all I really had to do was just throw the switch on that while I was on the road. That came off without a hitch, too. So I was able to get all my work done. anything that I needed to do, I could do on the iPad. Had a lot of fun with it. And it was, you know, it's such a nice device for showing photos also. That was the other thing that really jumped out at me. After I'd have, let's say, a nice morning of snorkeling where maybe I had some good light, saw some pretty fish, I would come back to the room. I would usually hang out in the room during midday. It's kind of hot midday there. You know, in the morning I'm out early, and then in the late afternoon I go back out. But in the midday, I sort of stay in the room. So I would come back in the room, load my pictures, do a little image editing, do my publishing, you know, just kind of take care of business, enjoy having air conditioning during that time. And then after I finished all that, then I could go down, hit happy hour at the bar, and, you know, start out with whatever I was going to do for the evening. It's actually a very nice flow. Boy, you know, you do 2 hours of exercises first thing in the morning, you feel like you can do anything you want the rest of the day, right? I love that. Most of the time, I could send the images via Wi-Fi to the iPad. Sometimes, with the since I have the older Olympus TG1, it doesn't have Wi-Fi in it, so I had to use the card reader. But it all just worked really, really well. And I honestly doubt on anything unless I have a specific assignment that requires me using the computer. I just really don't see me taking the laptop with me on too many trips unless it's absolutely necessary. You know, if I have to do it for a client, then I have to do it, and that's just the way it is. But if I don't, I'm not going to. And all this trip did here, this last one that I took, where I really tested a whole bunch of stuff, which has changed, you know, in the last year or so, and having it work so well just gave me more and more confidence that, you know what, I can just travel with this really light bag of gear, with these cool cameras and an iPad, and really get a lot of work done. That is a longer way of saying what I said at the top of the story, which is, how did it go leaving the laptop at home? It went great. Okay, so let's move on to a little Virtual Camera Club news from our friends at Sizzlepix. Remember, for this month, the month of July, we've got a 20% sale going, which means you can knock 20% off the price of any Sizzlepix quantity or size up to 6 feet. Just put the initials TDS or The Digital Story in the comment space of your new simplified online order. And off to the races you go. They'll take the 20% off. That's for the month of July, which, you know, it's going to be not that much left in July. Don't procrastinate too long. You want to take care of this now. Sizzlepix are also sponsors of our monthly photo assignment, SizzlePix.com. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And speaking of the photo assignment for July is smoking hot. Smoking hot. There are so many different ways you can go with this. Pick one of them and send it in, because one of those folks are going to be the Sizzlepix pick of the month, and they will get a free Sizzlepix. You don't want to miss out on that. Go to the member info page of The Digital Story. If you have any questions about submitting your image, just know you can submit basically any size you want. Okay, don't worry about any size constraints. How about our friends over at Red River Paper? Speaking of Red River Paper, one of the things that Tim Gray said, and you'll see this if you watch the movie from the screening room, is that, I don't know about you, but I still feel like the print is the, you know, the ultimate expression of a photograph. And he said, well, you know, maybe it's because I'm old school, or maybe I just really think that, you know, printing is important. So he said that. And then at the same time, I was reading this report today on imagingresource.com, which I didn't cover in the news, about they're doing high ISO testing for all these different cameras, and the way that they made their final decision on, you know, how high a camera could go ISO wise was based on making 8x10 prints of those images. And then they show this picture of all these 8x10 prints that they made from these different cameras at ISO settings, and they let the print be the final decisive factor in how high they could push that camera ISO-wise. So I thought, interesting two little printing side notes there, but actually they're bigger than side notes. They're, pretty important stuff. If these things make sense to you, and if you decide, hey, I probably maybe should make a few more prints, then go with Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. They have basically every surface that you could ever need. And at the same time, they sell it for a nice discount because they're making the paper and they're selling directly to you. And they pass those savings on to you. And also, if you want a discount on USP ground shipping for your order, just use the code GROUND50C. If you do that, you'll get 50% discount on your ground shipping. So you're already saving on the paper, you're saving on the shipping, and you're getting some fantastic stuff, Red River Paper. And they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that is going to do it for this week. I'm staying put this week. I've got a lot of interesting things I'm working on, so come back for next week's show and join me. Tune in, and we will explore what happened in the week of photography while we were doing other things. All right, until then, bye-bye now, and thanks for stopping by.